Today I want to talk with you about the message of comfort. The message of comfort. You ever been to church and the message wasn't very comforting? Some of you are sitting there going, yeah, I've been to this church and the message wasn't very comforting. I keep hearing from y'all that I'm preaching directly to you, and I'm just saying, you know, if everybody's saying that, it's probably not you personally. Amen? Hello? Amen? So today I want to talk with you, though, about the message of comfort. The message of Christ is a message of comfort. And Jesus, coming the way that he came, in a manger, as a baby, it was simply romantic, comforting. Now think about that. On the surface, and based on how God is often presented through Christians and even from the pulpits, you would think that the message of Christ is about these four things: forgiveness, appearances, morality, and edifices. Now, I needed to make an acronym, so that's why I use the word edifices. So we've got the word fame there. Doesn't make any sense, but maybe you'll remember it, all right? F, forgiveness. You would think that it's about us begging for forgiveness, that's what the message of Christ is. Or appearances, that you being a part of a successful movement is what the message of Christ is about. Let's get together and make success. Or morality, that you living a pure life is what the message of Christ is all about, our morality. Or edifices, which is buildings, you building a large and massive and beautiful church building for God and for each other. You'd think, listening to Christianity, that's what the message of Christ is about. These are the ingredients of fame. Not really. I don't know what that word is about, but it's an acronym, okay? Maybe you'll remember it. Fame. Are we looking to be famous, I guess? Do we need forgiveness? Yes, we do. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. But is that the end of the message of Christianity? Is that the message that God is saying, I want you to know it's all about forgiveness? No, it's not. Because if you look at the very next verse that most people cannot quote, it's, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. All have sinned, all are justified freely by his grace. Isn't that awesome? So yes, we need forgiveness, but here's the answer. We have received it. It's not all there is. And what Jesus did on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, was make forgiveness a done deal. So forgiveness from God is kind of like if all the rest of your life, your food was going to be prepared for you, and all you had to do was show up at the table. You ever been on a cruise? You go on a cruise, all your food is prepared. All you got to do is plan on who you're going to eat with, right? And sit down and enjoy. You don't have to worry about the food. And forgiveness in God is like that. What Jesus did on the cross was he prepared your food for the rest of your life. Forgiveness has been paid for. It's done. Now God wants you to focus on sitting at the table, not worried about the food, not worried about your forgiveness, but concerned about developing a relationship with him as you eat. It's prepared. It's done. Oh, come on. That's exciting. That's awesome. It's done. So we need forgiveness, but here's the fact. We've already got it. So it's not the message of Christ, and the comfort that comes from the message is beyond that. It's bigger than that. God's message is better than that. Do we need appearances? God called us to be his imagers. Do we need appearances? Do we need to look like we're saved, I guess? How many times, though, have people in the Bible and even ourselves, how many times do we get it wrong? We see something and we say, well, that doesn't have the appearance of God on it. How many times did people look at Jesus and go, well, if he's God, that doesn't make sense? How many times do we get it wrong? People looked at Jesus and got it wrong. over and over, all the way from Jesus' birth to his death. Jesus was misunderstood, and sometimes people looked at him and said, that's not God. Jesus was the perfect imager of God over and over, though people misunderstood. He was born in Nazareth. That was a place where people of ill report or ill respect or whatever, people that weren't respected were born in Nazareth. They came from there. His birth was in a cave. And he was laid in a manger with swaddling cloths. That doesn't breathe God. Born of parents who had a baby out of wedlock, that certainly doesn't look like anything. That's got a bad appearance, doesn't it? And worse than any of that, his death on the cross, where people who were the world's worst criminals were hung on a cross. Not the appearance of God. Jesus did not have what the world considered to be the appearance of God. So it's not about appearances, is it? And yet Jesus was the perfect imager of God. He imaged him perfectly. So is giving the appearance of success the pressure that Jesus wanted to give to us? Was he like, hey guys, all right, go out and look good for me. Go out and make the world see me in a way that makes me look good. Is that what Jesus left to us, the pressure of that? That's a weight. It's heaviness. That's a burden. That's not a message of comfort, is it? The message of comfort is way bigger than just appearance. What about our morality? How important is that to God? Any religious group can set a standard of morality. In fact, any group can set a standard of morality. For many, the ideal of religious beliefs is that they're necessary to provide some sort of structure, some sort of moral guidance to a community, some sort of standards of living to a community. And that versus a corrupt and awful place to live, a materialistic place, a degenerative place to live. You know, who really wants to live in the chaos of some place like Gotham City? Nobody would want to live there except maybe the criminals, where most people are corrupt. Religions of the world have always provided some kind of moral code and behavior throughout the centuries. And governments will welcome religious groups simply because they provide some sort of moral code. So any group or any moral or any religion can put together some kind of moral code. But here we have Christianity. Is that what Christianity is all about? And that's the question. And I'm here to tell you today that as important as morals are, that is not the message of Christ. It's bigger than that. Do we need edifices? Do we need buildings? Is that what Christianity is? Is that what Jesus came and did? A group of people hoping for a big, beautiful building to come and worship in? Is that what it's about? Is it wrong to have a big, beautiful building? No, it's not wrong. That's not the question, though. The question is that the message of Jesus? Is that what he came and died for? I was listening to a family talk recently about a funeral that they had been to, and the pastor at the funeral got up and he preached what they, and I wasn't there, so I'm not going to judge the guy, but I'm just telling you what their report was. Their report was that he got up and preached one of those hellfire brimstone messages, and their perspective of what happened in that funeral was he was basically trying to get people to come to his church. He was trying to reach people for his church. Why? So we could have fame. That's what we do, right? Forgiveness. You come into this church, you're going to pay the rest of your life for your forgiveness. Appearances. If you come, you're going to make us look successful. If you hold a standard of morality so that we can be good little Christians together, that's important. That's what we want you to do. Come, we want you to pay for your forgiveness. We want you to look good, and we want you to have morality so that we can be good little people together, and we want to build buildings. We want to have edifices. The Apostle Paul was in prison for sharing the message of comfort. Let me say that again. The Apostle Paul was in prison for sharing the message of comfort. And while he was there, he wrote letters to the churches giving hope, instruction to the churches to make sure that they had a good understanding of what the real message of Christ was and is. And he wrote this letter to the Colossian church. He said this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." And he says, "Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." He's saying, in other words, pray that I'm able to say the message of Christ as Christ intended me to say it when he was on the cross. It's so important. I need you to pray about it. And pray that God will open a door for me to share the message that I'm in chains for right now. I want to share it again. Because it's good news. It's a great message. He told them to pray for that. Now, was Paul seeking fame? Not at all. He was seeking an opportunity to share the same message that he's sitting in jail for. I wouldn't call that fame. So, do we read that Paul was begging God for forgiveness? Was he telling these people, you guys need to beg for forgiveness and that's what this message is about? No, he declared in chapter 1 of Colossians, he said, "For he has rescued us, Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." He says, we've got forgiveness. So he started this letter with him with that information. We have forgiveness for our sins. It's awesome. Was Paul about appearances? Well, considering the fact that he was sitting in jail, was he worried about the appearance of not being successful in the kingdom of God? Did he have the appearance of God's blessings? Not by human standards. He's in jail for being faithful to God. Paul didn't have an appearance of God. He was an imager of God. He didn't just look like he had God, because he didn't at times. He didn't look like he had God, but he was an imager of God. Was he merely preaching morality? Here are the do's and don'ts of Christianity, folks. All right, come on, Colossians. Come on, Church of Colossae. You need to live this way, and here's how we need the do's and don'ts. Don't get me wrong. Paul did a lot of communicating about what was right and wrong and how the church should conduct themselves. But look what he said. There was one time that he was dealing with the church, and there was somebody in the church, probably a celebrity, a local celebrity, and the church was excited to have this guy in the church. And this guy would come in, and he was bragging about, this is crazy, he was bragging about sleeping with his stepmother. Lisa, I know, right? It's horrible. It says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and a kind that even pagans don't tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife." He's saying, look, guys, even godless people understand morality. Even godless people understand what's right and what's wrong. Even the immoral people, or the seemingly immoral people, understand that this is immoral. Even people who have no desire to serve God, no desire to love God, no desire to be a part of God's church are looking at this situation going, well, that's wrong. What is he saying? He's saying morality is a given. He didn't have to preach it. He was just dealing with a situation that everybody could look at and go, wow, that's a wrong situation. That doesn't need to be going on in the church. You see, living moral lives, desiring to be good and to do good is a given in our lives, but it isn't everything. And unfortunately, that's what many believe the message of the cross is about. But it's more than that. It's way more than that. The message of comfort is way bigger than whether or not you live a moral life. What am I getting at? What are you getting at, Pastor? Well, let me ask you real quick before we move into this. Was Paul concerned about buildings? Listen to what he said. Devote yourselves to praying. Now, what do you have to do to show up for a prayer meeting? Show up. Do you have to pray for forgiveness before you come? Well, I'm not holy enough to go pray. Why is that so important to me? Because you need to understand that you are forgiven. You need to come and sit at the table and dine with him and with each other. And you need to understand that all of your sin, all of your shame, all of your past is taken care of. And you don't need to worry about what you're going to eat anymore. You don't need to worry about forgiveness anymore. You need to show up. And you need to sit at the table confidently saying, God, I want to get to know you. Was Paul concerned about buildings? Look at what he says. Being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation, the things that you talk about, always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. What does that mean? It means talking about Christ, sharing Christ with one another so that you may know how to answer everyone. He's saying, guys, let's just get the message out. Let's not worry about all of this stuff, the structure and all of this. Yes, is this necessary for us to get something done? Sure, but it's a result. You see, Paul was in prison praying for the opportunity to share the mystery of Christ. The very reason he was in chains, he was praying for that opportunity, praying that God would open a door for him to spread the message of comfort and hope and peace and encouragement and new life and purpose and reason and meaning for life. He was wanting to share that. Why? Because it's good news. Paul wasn't trying to build some building. He wasn't trying to gather a bunch of people so that we could have a big gathering and a big crowd and all of that. That wasn't his goal was to share the message of Christ everywhere he went. And he was praying for that opportunity. And you've come to a place today to receive the full, unadulterated message of who Christ is and what he did and why he did it. And you've come to a people that have embraced the mystery of Christ. And I'm telling you, the true message of Christ is bigger than forgiveness. It's bigger than appearances. It's bigger than morals. And it's definitely bigger than buildings. And the true message of Christ is this. God has made a way for you to have a genuine, personal, intimate relationship with him. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went there to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. You can have the biggest building and have it full of people with no room for Jesus. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You can imagine how scary that was. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." See, the message of Christ is good news. And if it's not good news to you, then you haven't really heard it yet. Maybe you've heard that it's all about this forgiveness. Maybe you've heard about it's all about appearances and looking holy and looking good or looking successful or morality or well, every time I go to church, they're raising money for a building or something. Well, you don't have that here. The message of Christ is good news for all people. And if you haven't seen that it's good news, then guess what? You haven't heard the message yet, but you are today. And the message is God wants a personal, deep, intimate relationship with you. God wants to know you and you to know Him. God has forgiven you already. You just need to come to the table, not worried about whether or not you're forgiven, but for the purpose of eating with Him. Prepared for you is a table with God to sit and dine with Him. It's just a matter of whether or not you sit and pray. The food is already prepared. One of the most impactful moments in my life was when I was a child. I had gone to bed that night, and it seems like, and I've always had the same perception, it was like as though as soon as my eyes closed, I was asleep, and I went into this dream. And as I laid there, I could hear these demons that were surrounding the house. And they got louder and louder and louder and clamoring, beating on the walls of our house and beating on the window of my room. And you can imagine it just intensified until came to the moment where suddenly it was stopped. Scared me to death. And I remember I got up from my bed, but I was no longer in my house. It was like some kind of a cabin, and I walked out, and everything was arranged like our house, but it was different. And I walked down the hallway, and as I walked down the hallway, I was going into where our living room would have been, but instead it was some kind of a place, like a cabin, like I was saying. And as I walked around the corner, I could see there was Jesus sitting at this bar, and He was on a stool, and He was peeling potatoes on the bar. And He looked over at me and He smiled and He just nodded. I was like, okay, so I sat down at the bar next to Him, watched what He was doing, and I started peeling potatoes with Him. I have no idea what He said during that time, but I do know that it left a lasting moment of purpose and intimacy with Him that I've never forgotten. Just sat there peeling potatoes. I don't know what it means. Don't try to figure it out. Next morning, I woke up. I had such a high fever, I couldn't go to school. But after a couple hours, the fever was gone. So I wasn't sick. But I never forgot the feeling that He gave me, just sitting there working with Him. God wants to be with you. Maybe the message is just even if it's peeling potatoes, He wants to be with you. He wants a relationship with you. And that is the message of Christ. Comfort, peace, joy. If the message of Christ has not been good news for you, then you've not heard the right message. Jesus was called Emmanuel. That's what the angel told them to call Him. It doesn't mean that He was supposed to be named that. They were to call Him that. And that name means God with us. God wants to be with us. He wants to be with you. He wants to know you. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. Speaking to the shepherds still. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Boy, talk about appearances. What is this appearance? Beauty. Simple. Romantic. Is that what it looks like for a king to be born? No. It's what it looks like when somebody wants a relationship with people. God could have come as some huge, awesome, and he's going to this next time. Amen? But he came as a baby, and he allowed himself to be swaddled and cuddled and fed by his own creation. And for the first time in his life, he was held and loved, kissed like that. And he wants a relationship with you. James, David, would you come? This is awesome. Imagine being shepherds and this happening. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. What a beautiful, beautiful story. The message of Christ is this: no, you don't deserve him. No, you're not smart enough. No, you're not good enough. And no, you're not rich enough. You can't buy it, what he's got. Now, imagine though, if Jesus, before he left, he said, "Okay, we need to set up a system here. Forgiveness is one of those most important things you guys need. And so, all right, let's set up we'll figure this out. And we'll put together a committee so that they can figure out as, you know, the ages go on how much these things are going to cost. But if you cuss right now, the going price for that is $20 for a cuss word. And you'll be forgiven. So when you go to church on Sunday, if you've cussed 5 times this week, you give $100. If it's a really bad word, and the committee will decide what that is, $40 a word, all right? If you stole from somebody, $500. Don't worry about making it right with them. You just come to the church, and I'll forgive you. You give $500 to the church, and you'll be forgiven. Adultery, $2,000. You'll be forgiven. Don't worry about making it right with your wife. Don't worry about the pain and struggle. You just come to the church, pay $2,000, you'll be forgiven. The truth is, that's kind of the system he had in the Old Testament. Bring the bulls and the goats, and you guys make a sacrifice. Bring the best, make a sacrifice. You really feel guilty, bring the whole herd. I don't. But this is about relationship. And God says how we treat one another and forgive one another and care for one another and love one another. He says, that's how you treat me. It's bigger than forgiveness. bigger than appearances. It's bigger than morality. It's bigger than what we've minimized it to here, all these buildings. Jesus paid all the debts so that you only have one debt. Paul talked about it in Romans. He said, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. It's about relationship, and it's way bigger than anything else. Jesus said that if you want comfort, if you want comfort in your life, you love him. He says, if you really love me, you'll keep and obey my commandments. What is he saying? You'll have a relationship with me. You'll get to know what I like and what I don't like, and you'll accommodate for me in your life. If you really love me, that's what you're going to do. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him. But you what? Know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually, and he will be in you. The message of comfort is that God makes his home in us. And so the invitation is simply this: do you have that relationship with him? I'm not asking for your money. I'm not asking for you to join the church. It's an invitation for you to know Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with him. And if all of this goes away, that will never go away. That will never go away. And once again, is it wrong for us to be sitting here in a building? No, it's not wrong, but this is not what it's about. This is a necessary evil. Good Lord, we can't even get the heat working around here. It's a necessary evil, right? We'll have a fix, hopefully, in the next 2 weeks. Yes. Everybody say amen. Amen. Lord, let it be. Right. It's not why we're here. We're here so that you can grow and develop in a relationship with Jesus. Listen, I grew up hearing that all my life, but no one ever taught me how to do that. And that's what we spend our time trying to get done here. How do you know if you've done it? How do you know if you've accepted that relationship, at least initially? How do you know that? You know it if you have chosen to love him. Do you accommodate for God in your life? Are there things that God doesn't like that you say, okay, God, I'm not going to do it because you don't like it? Or are there things in your life that you know God likes? Okay, God, I know you like that, so I'm going to do it. You see, we stop doing certain things because he doesn't like it. We give because we know he likes it. We forgive because we know he likes it. Do you love him? That's the question. Do you love him? Are you loving God? Would you bow your heads? So this Christmas Sunday morning, the message of comfort: he loves you. Really loves you. Do you love him? Does he feel your embrace like he felt Mary? Have you wrapped your arms proverbially around him and said, Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me? Do you love him? Do it right now. God, I thank you. Thank you for your love. I love you. And I know with that comes an immense amount of responsibility in your life. And I simply ask you to help me to love you from this day forward. It's bigger than believe. And it empowers me to live for you. So today, I give you all of my life again. And help me to love you more. Maybe there's somebody here that you haven't accepted Christ into your life. Or maybe you did, you just asked for forgiveness. And I'm telling you, it's bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. Today, it's about, God, I accept you for who you are. And I invite you into my life. And I thank you for your forgiveness that makes it possible for me to sit at the table and have a relationship with you. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity to just say, you know what? Today, I did that. I accepted God for who He is in my life. Right where you're at, I just want you to look up at me until my eyes catch yours, just to verify, all right? Anybody else? Okay? Amen. Anybody else? Amen.